Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast, and welcome to 2026. This is our first, I don't think it's the first podcast we released in 2026, but it's the first podcast we've recorded in 2026, and so it feels like a new year. It is a new year, so that would make sense that feels that way. It feels like a new beginning, and there's something powerful about a new year for that reason, and I don't know that I can fully explain that, but there is this sense of it's a new year, it's a blank slate, everybody starts again, you get the new calendar going and all those kinds of things. And, you know, the joke around is always, I think I heard this morning, that January 1st, the first week of January, is the biggest signups for gym memberships during the year. And then January 30th is the biggest withdrawal of gym memberships. So everybody's like, oh, actually going to the gym is painful. And so they take those away. But there's the ongoing New Year's resolutions and all those kinds of things. And so we were thinking about that, and right before we started recording, David made a fairly, I don't know if it was controversial, a blanket generalized statement. And I said, you know what? Let's just start recording and go with that. So I just want you to know, listeners, we have not discussed this. David, what did you just say a couple minutes ago in terms of your general statement that we're going to discuss here?
All right. Yeah, I would describe this as, yeah, a bold general assertion, but it's one that I feel I have become more and more confident in over the years, and I feel like I have some decent arguments to back it up, and that is that everyone should be a runner, and that is my general assertion, and yeah, I think it would be really interesting for us to kick that around, because not only do I think that it has some of these straightforward benefits that you might think of, but I think that there's actually a lot more that it can teach you than you might expect on the surface if you have never really been into it before.
So I think, so first of all, full disclosure, I was a runner. I'm always a little bit reluctant to take this complete mantle on. I ran in college, but I did not set any track records in college, which means that I did run on the team, but I was not considered the best talent on the team. And then I've run on and off ever since. And so I kind of would be putting myself in the running camp. But having said that, while certainly a lot of people run, it's still kind of a subset. It's in the running community sort of wears that as a badge of honor. That, you know, there's a, and that badge of honor comes with, because there's runners and there's runners. There's runners in college who are sprinters, and that's what I wanted to be because if you're a sprinter, you run really fast and you're done. But what I ended up being was a distance runner, and distance running is certainly a physical application, but it's a mental application, and you know, there's most runners who are not recreational runners, but post-college athlete runners are doing distance running, and distance running is some part physical exertion and some part mental ability to deal with pain. And consequently, therefore, it has a subset of people that are interested. And yet, David, you're saying everybody should do that. So, you know, as a sometimes runner, what I hear you say is everybody should participate in a painful physical activity. So is that right? Is that what you mean? Or go with that a little bit.
I would be so bold as to say yes, actually. I think that pretty much everybody should do something that perhaps painful. I would dial it down just a hair in that I think that you should be regularly participating in something physical that makes you uncomfortable at very least and pushes you to a level that you didn't necessarily think was possible before. And, you know, it's been interesting to see, you know, that there's been an increase in the number of people who have gotten into running and also into gyms, actually, over like the past few years or so. People have been more interested in physical activity. And so I think that there's been some good reasons and some not so good reasons for that. But to answer your question, yeah, I think pretty much everybody should do that to some extent. I would agree.
So I think it's easy for people to hear the argument and say this is physically good for you. And mm-hmm. I think you're definitely making that argument. You know, physical exertion is good and there's a way to train your body and all those kinds of things. But I think that you're kind of sort of scraping at something a little deeper here because you haven't made your full argument yet, but you're saying that there's something about being uncomfortable. So let's set aside the fact that running is physically good for you. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think everybody gets that. Why do you assert that everybody should be a runner? What are some of your core underlying reasons here?
So, well, we can circle back to the health benefits because there are quite numerous ones for running specifically that can help you in a very long-term sense. But I think if you are familiar with what we talk about here on the podcast, this won't surprise you. I think that part of it is because running and specifically distance running is hard. And when you take on something that is challenging, and you take that on a regular basis and keep pushing yourself, not only do you get some more of those additional physical benefits, but you get some of the mental benefits, some of the resilience that can help you in numerous other areas of life. And running, I think, is a great encapsulation of a bunch of those. For one thing, a lot of running, especially distance running, is very goal oriented. And so a lot of the time, if you sign up for a race, or if you are part of a training plan where you're trying to get to a certain pace for a certain distance, then you have a goal in mind, and you have to be able to create a plan for how you're going to be able to get there. And that's already a really valuable skill. And inevitably, that plan was somewhere in there, things are going to go wrong. Because at the end of the day, there's going to be some points where you get sick in between when you sign up for the race and when the race day comes. I literally just had this. I have a marathon coming up in about 2 months, and I got sick a couple of weeks ago, and I had to figure out how am I going to adjust my plan to make sure that I can still get in the training that I need. And so it teaches you to be able to then look at your plan and say, hey, it didn't go according to what I thought, so how do I adjust? How do I figure out how to still make this work and still try to reach for my goals? And I think that in and of itself is a really powerful thing. And also, because you're setting goals, it teaches you to push, especially if you are training for some sort of speed. A lot of the time, I've found, and I think just about anybody who's in the sport will tell you, that you end up finding multiple points at which you just somehow find within yourself like this little extra bit of energy to be able to have a bit more to give than you initially thought. And it's this wild, strange, but amazing feeling when you realize, wait, I was actually more capable than I thought I was. And there was a lot of it that was actually a mental game more than a physical game of me holding myself back. And so if I can learn to just try to push through and push past what I mentally assume that I can or cannot do, then that is also a phenomenal skill for the rest of life, to be able to look at other areas of your work and things that you may be attempting and say, I may actually be more capable than I'm assuming that I can be. And giving yourself the opportunity to, in a controlled environment, just give that a shot and see what you can do is a really, really powerful feeling.
So I hear you saying there's kind of practical resilience training here. You know, mm-hmm. there's a point where don't think I can do this, and then I do it. There's a self-discovery piece here. There's a level that I can perform at that I didn't think I could perform at. I thought I could, you know, I push through something. So you push through adversity. And so obviously there's a physical component to that. There's a mental component to that as well. That was interesting. You talked about, you know, a planning component. You know, you have to, if you have a goal, you have to be goal driven. And then inevitably something goes wrong and you have to adjust. That's kind of our failure is an option thing. I mean, something's not going to work and you have to adjust. That's kind of part of life. Okay, makes sense. I can buy those things. And yet I'd say people say that about all kinds of physical stuff. And so why running? Why can't I go swimming or, you know, go rock climbing or some other physical activity? Is your argument that physical exertion is important, or is your argument that running specifically is important?
Well, I think that running in and of itself just has a unique spot. I think that things like swimming or cycling or rock climbing or other things like that have really unique benefits that running doesn't and can be. I think that where running is particularly interesting, and I would say distance running especially, is that it teaches you some of that, like, pushing and exerting yourself. I would also say it teaches you some patience, too. And what I mean by that is that, especially if you're training to run for longer and longer distances, if you're getting up to that, like, half marathon or marathon distance, a lot of the time you end up going out for really long runs and you're out there exerting yourself for a really long time. And that in and of itself takes some patience. I think there's a lot of us who, you know, could warm up to the idea of, okay, yeah, like I could go and I could run and push really hard for 20, 30 minutes or something like that and maybe do a 5K. That's one thing. But the idea of having a sustained exertion over a period of an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3, 4, 5 hours, depending on what length of race you're doing, is an entirely different ballgame. And for one thing, it teaches you patience because you're just out there for a really long time and you're just running. And especially a lot of the time, you're running at a fairly slow pace, actually, when you're building up your endurance to be able to do that. And so there's a lot of patience in that. A lot of the time, like in my current marathon training plan, the majority of my running is actually a decent bit slower than what like I'm aiming to do on my actual race, because I don't want to overexert myself and I want to just build up the endurance base. And a lot of the time that is not nearly as fun. I would much rather be blitzing around the park as fast as I humanly could, but it's ultimately going to be beneficial for me because I'm building towards something that is in the future. And so I think that it's unique that distance running especially is unique in that it teaches you some patience, in that you have to just endure some level of suffering for a long time, and you come up with ways to do that. And not only is that a toll that's taken on your physical body and helps physical resilience, but also you learn what it's like and how to actually mentally take the idea of being out there and exerting yourself running for 2 hours and then actually making that say, you know what, actually, I think I can do that, and just pushing yourself further and further in that regard as well. So I think there's a patience element that actually is really unique there.
Well, sometimes the most zealous for something are the recently converted. So David, let's get personal here. Have you always been a runner?
I have not always. I got into it probably, I think it was 2021. So I've been in it for about 4 years at this point. I've been getting a lot more into it recently because I've been enjoying meeting some of those challenges. And this marathon I have coming up is my very first one, but I'm not the most recently converted. No.
So what are some of the changes? I mean, obviously, they're going to reflect the things you just talked about here, because that's what you're holding up as advantages. But, you know, it's one thing to hear like, yes, running will make you healthier. Running will make you more resilient. What does that look like for you personally? Like, how has that actually played out in your personal life in terms of how things what has changed since you started running in 21, which I guess is longer ago than we think it is, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm realizing that this year it's going to be 5 years ago. 2021 was
Yeah, I started that sentence to say, which wasn't that long ago, and I was like, it's half a decade.
Seems a little different. Okay. Wow. Yep. That is a realization that we just had together. Okay. Yeah. For me, there has been notable changes in some of the areas that I just mentioned, in that I have realized that there are a lot of goals that in life, even outside of physical activity, that are a lot more achievable if I end up like making a plan and then executing on it and pushing through the discomfort, the doubts that I have, like the mental blocks that I put up for myself. I think there's a lot of those that I end up using in my work, in just trying different things, even with, you know, different marketing strategies, for example. That's most of what I do for my day job. And a lot of the time, it does feel like a marathon, in that you're trying a lot of different things and you're waiting on results. And it's just a lot of doing some of the same things that you know are going to work over and over again, and just waiting to see how those end up building and actually coming to fruition in the long term. And so I think that really has been helpful for me. And it also helps just because, you know, doing something on a regular basis, just especially something that is challenging, makes doing smaller things and developing daily habits that are helpful for you more achievable as well. Because, you know, when I get up in the morning and when I go for a 6 or 7 mile run, and then, you know, I go about the rest of my day, pretty much everything else doesn't feel nearly as challenging because I was just out at 8 a.m. running for 6 or 7 miles. And so I can come back, and honestly, like, there's probably a part of this that is a little bit vain, but it's effective in that I come back, I sit down for work, and I say, you know what, I've already done something that's really physically challenging, and I have come back from that refreshed, I've cleaned up, and I'm ready to tackle on the rest of the day's projects. And I genuinely feel a lot more ready to take on challenging things in my day after I've done something physically challenging beforehand. Traditional education doesn't work for everyone. If you or your student wants something different, check out Ascend by Unbound. With flexible courses, real-world projects, mentorship, and community, Ascend equips young adults to thrive academically, professionally, and personally. Students consistently say that the close-knit support and resume-ready experience are their favorite parts. Enrollment prices rise soon, so don't wait. Find your track at beunbound.us/ascend.
So let's, you know, challenge you a little bit on your premise. Are you as universal as you say you are? So, you know, if are you genuinely saying that, you know, if we randomly selected 15 people and you'd say every one of you should be a runner, assuming physically capable of running, you know, is that the case? Or are you trying to make a broader argument you should find something challenging to do? And you know, it can be either one. I'm just curious, is it the underlying thing you're pushing at, or is it actually the running that is so, you think, fundamental to this?
I think, to make it more confusing, yes is the answer to that question. I think that the underlying principles are ultimately what is beneficial. It's just from my experience, I think that running is a very unique combination of those things that just makes it really powerful. And one additional piece that I will add in that we haven't touched on yet is that there's actually a surprising amount of community that you can end up finding in specifically something like running. You can find that in other sources of physical activity, like there's a gym community for if you're into weightlifting and rock climbing and things like that. But what's really interesting is not only can you end up meeting people at races and end up recognizing people who participate in some of the same races that you do at different points in the year, you can, you know, recruit friends to go for runs with you. That's been absolute delight for me to recruit some of the other people in our area to go for runs and races with me. But there's also just the fact that I think, in my opinion, running is best done outdoors. I think there's not only is it far more interesting because you're actually running not in just a singular place on a treadmill. I think a treadmill has its place, but I would far and above recommend being outside whenever you can. But there's also just an element of being outside and being in the place where you live. I think that there's something really powerful to that that doesn't get talked about a lot, because I run at a park that's about a half a mile away from where I live on a very regular basis. And since I go there so often, at this point, there are quite a few people that I recognize there. And there's that also go to the park around the same time. And a lot of the times, because I will be in the midst of a run, I won't be able to have a full-on conversation with them. But even then, even if it's just a simple interaction as just seeing somebody who just is on their walking route or is at the park with their kids and just waving at them and recognizing them from my community, then that gives me the opportunity later to recognize them in Walmart or at the post office or something like that. And on top of that, if you end up running in a place where if you end up running through your local area, if you run through your city, then you get to be able to go out and look at what's going on. You get to see the sights and sounds of what's happening in the area that you live. And that's something that I think we really miss out on a lot of the time because a lot of us work from home. A lot of us, you know, are able to, you know, cook our meals at home, work from home. And basically, there's less and less incentive, unless you're going out for grocery shopping, to really leave our homes nearly as much as we used to. And I think that there's something profoundly healthy about being outside and feeling, even if you're doing something as simple as just running through the streets of downtown, feeling like you are actually a part of the place that you live.
Well, and one thing you didn't mention, but I think of in terms of running, is that running does a great job of obliterating your excuses. You know, if it's...
Yes.
There's a lot of good things to be gained from swimming, but you say, well, I got to get up and I got to go and I got to find a place and I got to get a membership and I got to change and all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, I'd like to play pickleball or tennis. Well, I got to find somebody to play with and I got to get equipment and I got to get, you know, running. Do you have shoes? Or if you don't, I mean, barefoot running is a thing. Yep. And So open the door. And there is a simplicity to it that ends up being pretty compelling.
Yeah, I fully agree. There's been many times where I have thought, I don't really know if I want to actually do this while I'm on this trip. But then I realized, wait, I don't really have a good excuse because all I have to do is pack in my running shoes. And all I have to do is just find a route that works for me and whatever place I'm going to. And honestly, those have a lot of the time been some of the most fun runs that I've had because then I get to explore a new area. Just last month, me and some friends went to a concert in Nashville and just walked out of the hotel and found a route and just ran all through the city. And it was really fun. And I got to see a lot of really interesting things that I was excited to talk to my friends about when I got back because I took the opportunity to explore while getting in physical activity. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, we'll see how many people you convince. We'll see, respond and let us know if you decide to take up running because of David's convincing argument here. But I just might add some additional things to just think about a little bit. You know, on this podcast, we try to talk about practical Christian living. You know, that includes understanding. There's an apologetics aspect to this, but there's a real practical drive that reflects what we think about in Unbound and it reflects who we are. And one of the things that I've spent a lot of time thinking about, teaching about, we've spent a lot of time discussing in the last several years at Unbound is tied to this. And that is that David hit on this earlier with running being resilience training. There is an interesting phenomenon that happens that if you're talking about, you know, how to get through life, I don't think anybody would argue against this premise that there is an aspect of life that involves struggle. And so those who are able to struggle well, which is to resist, you know, resist and overcome the struggles that are in front of you, they're going to do better in life. And you can qualify better in lots of different ways. And yet we live in a world where a lot of those struggles seem to get eliminated. Now, you know, as an example, if you lived 50 years ago or 75 years ago or 100 years ago, it might be some element of struggle to keep the house warm by chopping wood. It might be some element of struggle to travel because it wouldn't have been as easy to do so. It might be an element of struggle to feed yourself if you're working on a farm or something of that nature. And so sort of the mundane everyday aspects of life had some sort of struggle in them. And so resistance training was built in. And yet we live in a time and place, which is a tremendous blessing, where most of us don't struggle with those things. We turn the heat on by flipping a switch. We go to the grocery store and buy food. You know, those kinds of things that have been struggles for most of human history are not anymore. And so consequently, there's a lack of exercise of those resilience muscles. And that can cause some real problems because it makes sort of mundane struggles all of a sudden feel existential or feel as a crisis level. And we see this. We see people reacting to things that would have been, you know, still a struggle, but not such a big deal years ago, all of a sudden feeling like a crisis for people. And I think David's argument is important here in terms of, you know, put yourself in a situation where you have to struggle on a daily, perhaps, basis. I have to run this extra mile. I have to get up this morning. I have to go outside even though it's cold. I have to find a place to run even though a new place. And all of a sudden, you by default are training something way more important than your physical body. I think that's true. There's another aspect that I think that's even more powerful here, which is as Christians, we have an additional struggle, which is an enemy who deliberately wants to mislead us and does so primarily through temptation. And so for a Christian, there's a necessity to be able to resist temptation. And one of the more powerful aspects, I think, to physical training is that the same mental strength that gets you out of the morning on a cold morning, especially, maybe in a new city, that makes you push through the seventh mile to get to the eighth, that makes you run harder to beat your personal best, that mental strength is the same exact mental muscle that you use to resist temptation. And a couple of years ago at one of our base camp events, I used this analogy, which I may be more fond of than the audience, which is I said, you know, when we send young people out and we tell them to resist the kinds of temptations that they inevitably run against, that come in some different forms because of the technological age we're running in, and we don't do anything except for say, don't do that. My analogy is that's like sending them out to fight orcs naked. You know, like you got a rampaging orc army coming over the hill. You're supposed to defend the castle and you send the group out there and you say, stop those people. And you don't give them any armor and you don't give them any weapons and they get slaughtered. You're like, gosh, they didn't fight hard enough. Well, they got to fight as hard as they want. It's really tough to fight orcs when you have no armor and no shield and no spear, right? And so instead, we want to give them armor. We want to give them shields and spears. We also want to give them training. And that training, you know, for any time and place, it has to come with that mental fortitude, that mental strength to be able to resist things that you don't want to do or that you ought not to do. And I don't know of any other way to consistently train that. Like, one would be expose yourself to temptations and resist it. There's a lot of failure inherent in that. There's some problems there from a bunch of different ways. The other would be put yourself in a situation where you're used to telling your body, do it anyway. And I don't know of any way to do that other than to train from a physical standpoint, which means, David, I would certainly go along with your thesis. Everybody should be doing something physically uncomfortable on a regular basis. And I think that, you know, running has this additional ability to have not just the benefits you talked about, but with that kind of no excuses thing. Plus, it's easier than me than cold showers. Yeah, that's the other thing everybody says about, yeah, I'd rather go running than have to deal with the cold showers.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Nope. I've tried it. Listen, I will happily do a 14-mile run. A cold shower is just not my thing. I'm good.
You might get yourself through the 14th mile by promising yourself the hot shower at the other end of it, right? So
exactly.
Well, as you start this new year, perhaps you should take up running. And I think that David's got an argument that's worth listening to. There's some tremendous benefits from that. But I might give you a slight escape hatch here and say, whether you take up running or not, definitely think seriously about working into your life some way to be physically uncomfortable on a routine basis. A daily's not too frequent. And the payoff for that is that not only will you probably realize some health benefits, you'll realize some other benefits, you'll certainly build up your resilient training, your problem-solving stuff, all the kinds of things David mentioned. But perhaps the most important aspect of this is that you'll build up your mental resistance to temptation. And consequently, when faced with options or faced with temptations, you'll find that you have reserves of strength that were not there before that allow you to say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that today. I think I'm going to choose a different option. And if that sounds small, it is small in the moment, but it's big in the long term. And for that reason alone, it's worth paying attention to, it's worth thinking about carefully, and it's worth implementing in whatever way is possible.
Yeah. And one more note that I think is really powerful that is a secret to not only being successful in running, but I think in just about everything else in life, is to stop yourself from playing the comparison game. Is that that's so, so easy to do. That is extremely prevalent whenever you get into running, is that you see people who are able to go way faster than you for way longer, and it can be super discouraging, especially when you're starting out. I certainly was that way. When I very first started, I could barely run 2 miles at about a 11 and a half minute pace, for the record. That's really slow, and that's not that far. But fortunately, I was able to just keep plugging away at it. And I'm thankfully a lot further at this point than I am now, than I was at that point. But I think there is really something huge to be said about just saying, this is worth doing, even if I'm not at the point that I would like to be, or if I'm not at the point where I see other people are at, because I'm doing this to beat other people. I'm not competing against those other people. I am doing this for the benefit of myself so that I can be better equipped to meet life's challenges, and ultimately, from a Christian perspective, better equipped to serve God in the ways that he is going to call me to do. And that, I think, if you're able to understand that mindset and apply it, has massive benefits as well.
Well, I think that's a really important word. If you're a young man, and maybe especially if you're an older man listening to this, I know that I struggled deeply. You know, in college, I ran competitively. And even though I wasn't the fastest member of the team, I wasn't the slowest member either. And so there was a training aspect, there was a competitive aspect to it. And one of the things that I had real difficulty with after college training for was that I didn't have the competition. And so, you know, you can fix that by entering races and things. And then, as David points out, that can be demoralizing when you realize how slow you are. And so a big change for me was to shift my success parameters. I still want to be successful what I'm doing. I still want to, but it went from, okay, look, are you really training to be the star in your age category and winning these races and all those things? That's not a bad thing. That's also not something I had time for, right? Mm-hmm. Setting aside whether I had the ability for it, I just didn't have the time to train at that level. And so then I went through a period of like, well, it's not worth it. You know, if you're not going to play to win, don't play type of thing. And what changed a lot for me was that, well, I'm training for something different. I'm training to have functional physical ability for as long as possible. And I'm training to have functional physical ability because that functional physical ability allows me to do things that I want to do. Well, then the immediate argument comes up, well, you're saying that, you know, people are less than if they don't have that? And then it was like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. So I had to rethink it again. And it's like, well, I am training for functional physical ability. I don't think that's a bad thing to train for. But to David's point, I'm training for something else. I'm training for the best mental ability that I have. And since I have the physical ability, this tends to be the easiest in terms of no equipment needed, the most present, and one of the most effective mental training processes I can go through. And so consequently, why am I doing this? Well, it's not to win the race. It's not even to give myself the best physical fitness for as long as possible. That's not a bad side effect. It's to prepare myself mentally for whatever the world throws at me and to do that in a way that's consistent so that I'm always ready. And that turned out to be extremely motivating for me. That has helped me to stay on track with a lot of different physical programs with that benefit. And so I don't know if that's universally true, but for me, that mental shift made a big difference. Well, thank you for coming along with our little discussion here. It was fun. David said that, and I said, let's just not even talk about it first. Let's just go ahead and hit record and see where we go with it. And if we've inspired you to go out and run, that'd be fantastic. If we inspired you to become physically uncomfortable, that'd be fantastic. Let us know how that worked out for you. And we are wishing the best for you and praying for the best for you in this new year. We're excited about what the new year holds. Last year was an interesting year. There were, you know, we talk about struggles and going through things. Last year was a training year in so many ways. There was a lot of hard things that we went through last year. There was a lot of good things. There's a tremendous amount of blessing, but there was also a tremendous amount of learning. And so when that happens, you kind of get yourself ready for the next training cycle and go, I wonder what will happen next. I wonder how much faster we can run. And we're certainly thinking about that as we begin this year, and we hope that you are as well. So thanks for coming along again for this new season of Be Unbound. Until next time, be unbound.